I'll be talking about evaluation of a publicly funded breast cancer screening program for Nebraska. And I think this topic is important for many reasons. First of all, we know that there is a debate about expansion of Medicaid and this kind of screening program. So I hope that the study finding can support some of those debates. So breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer among women in the United States. The American Cancer Society estimates that for 2013, there will be more than 200,000 new cancer cases. And new cases of carcinoma in situ, that's non-invasive type of breast cancer, that will be more than 60,000 women. And about 40,000 women will die from breast cancer. And in 2010, the direct cost of care for breast cancer was about $16.5 billion. That is approximately 13% of the total direct cancer care cost in the U.S. And there is also a substantial cost in terms of societal, like productivity loss, premature death, and the caregiver cost. And this value is from 2007. It was about $12.2 billion. But there is some argument that this number can substantially go up because we don't have much information on the caregiver cost, after someone gets diagnosed for breast cancer. So this is the incident and mortality rate to graph. In the first graph, that's incident rate, we can see that the white women are more likely, you know, to get diagnosed with breast cancer. But if you see the mortality graph, black or African American women are more likely to die from breast cancer. And there are some evidence that suggests that the African American women actually suffer from more aggressive form of breast cancer. However, research also shown that actually account for almost 10% of the mortality difference, and rest 90% are from the social determinants of health, like access to health care or getting diagnosed or screened at an earlier stage. So evidence suggests that the early diagnosis improve patient survival outcome and reduce healthcare cost. A mammogram performed every 1 to 2 years for women aged 40 years or elder can reduce the cancer mortality by 20 to 25% in in 10-year period. And also, American Cancer Society recommends that the annual screening for any women after 40 years or older. Despite of that, 20 to 30% of women aged 50 to 64 do not get screened for breast cancer. And for someone who gets screened, there is a very low adherence rate. That is, 51% do not return for a repeated screening at 12 months, and 36% do not return for a screening at 24 months. So these are some of the predictors for regular screening. These are all from prior literature. For example, rural urban residents are more likely to get screened because rural residents, they have some problem like transportation or access to availability of the screening facilities. Insurance status, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, years of education, and if they were aware of any program that actually screen the breast cancer, and then also peer support and perceived benefit. So these are all based on prior literature, they found that these are important predictor for breast cancer screening. So I'll talk a little bit about the program actually we work with. That's called Every Woman Matter. It is a program in Nebraska. So the Breast and Cervical Cancer Mortality Prevention Act was passed in 1990, and under that, the National Breast Cancer and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program was started. And Nebraska was one of the first 12 states that received funding from the program to start the breast cancer screening program. And these are some of the program eligibility. So the women must be between 40 to 74 years of age, falls within the program's income guideline, that's more than 225% poverty level, and they should not have any current Medicaid or not belong to any kind of HMO product or not enrolled in Medicare Part B. So if someone has all these, they are eligible to get screened through the program. So there are approximately 800 providers in Nebraska currently, including healthcare clinics, hospitals, mammography facility, radiology group, and 70% of these facilities are actually located in rural areas. And different community partners promote the availability of, they actually promote that program, then also enroll different clients and implement different health education activities. So currently what they do is they do a clinical breast examination screening mammogram, and if they get diagnosed with, they found that there is evidence of breast cancer, the Nebraska passed a law in 2001, it's a Medicaid treatment bill, so if someone gets diagnosed for breast cancer, they will receive free treatment from Medicaid since 2001. So there are some prior evaluation of this kind of program in different part of the country. There was one evaluation done in California, Michigan, and New Mexico, and they reported that treatment pattern for women diagnosed with early stage breast cancer through this program appeared to be similar to the existing literature. And the second program from Florida found that the program was successful in servicing its targeted population. Again, we call it Every Woman Matter program, so in different states they have different names for that. So so we have basically, I have two aims for the study. First of all, to understand the mortality difference between the women they are screened by the Every Woman Matter program and compare with the other breast cancer program, patients they get diagnosed from the other sources. And we know this APHA conference is about medical geography, so I add little spice to that, and I just put the special access to primary care providers and wanted to know that if access to primary care provider actually reduce the mortality rate in long term. So I use data from three different sources. First of all, we use the data from Nebraska Every Woman Matter program between 1997 and 2007. And then Nebraska Cancer Registry data till 2012, and then U.S. Census data for 2000. And then records were linked on name, diagnosis date, date of birth, social security number, and we used the probabilistic linkage technique for merge the data. And then all the unmatched record in the Nebraska Cancer Registry were used to identify the breast cancer patient diagnosed by the other sources. By the program requirement, actually, the Every Woman Matter program has to report to the Nebraska Cancer Registry that these women are diagnosed through us for breast cancer. So we exclude the women that are outside the range 40 to 74 years because that is the screening age for the Every Woman Matter program. And also we exclude the patients whose cancer is solely diagnosed or identified by death certificate. So these are the primary outcomes of interest. First of all, short-term mortality and long-term mortality. So based on the prior literature, the cutoff for the long-term mortality was 5 years. And then also want to assess the treatment difference in terms of chemotherapy, hormone therapy, surgery, and radiation therapy, if there's a difference between those two groups in receiving this kind of treatment. And the independent variable, the first was the tumor stage. We used the TMN guideline to stage those cancer, and then age of diagnosis was categorized into three groups. And we used the location of residence, urban, micropolitan, and rural counties. Marital status was there. And we also add one variable from U.S. Census about the neighborhood poverty level. So you want to see that where these women actually resided when they got diagnosed with cancer, the breast cancer. So these are four types of treatment modality that's available. We included in the model. So we also use the providers, the primary care providers. We use the data from Health Profession Tracking Service, that is a agency within the University of Nebraska Medical Center. They actually track the healthcare workforce every year, and they update their database. So we in the primary care we include the physicians, nurse practitioner, and physician assistant. They are practicing in primary care, and we use the office-based FTE rather than using the head count. And we use the 40 hours as one FTE, and for NP and PA, 40 hours we regarded as 0.5 FTE. That's all based on prior literature. So we excluded the federally employed providers and residents. So the actual supply of primary care FTEs for a census tract was calculated by adding the physician and non-physician providers FTE. So we used, and there are some limitations when calculated access to care. If we just use the number of population that does not give a good estimate. So we use something, a GIS methodology called two-state floating catchment area method. So that actually captured a complex interaction between population demand, medical service availability, and geographic location of the patient population's medical sites. And that actually adjusts for the distance decay effect. And then we created a spatial access index to understand that access to primary care. And higher value corresponding to a better spatial access and the lower value to a lower. We'll see that in the map in a later section. So this is actually the mathematics behind that calculation of that spatial access measure. So we use two state. In the first state, we calculate the 60 minutes driving zone catchment around each medical site. For us, it is the each FTE. And then we divide them into 10, 20, and 30 minutes driving distance. And then we search all the population within that subzone. So this again account for some of the limitations to calculate the supply demand ratio. As I say, the distance decay effect it taken into consideration. And this model actually being developed by a researcher from Illinois, and it has been used for measuring the access to providers, accounting for the population growth and residence. So we use the chi-square statistics to see the difference between those two groups. And then we use the multivariate logistic regression to see the 1 year and 5 year mortality. So this is the first table, patient characteristics by the program status. So if you see that the first one, that higher percentage of women in a younger age actually got diagnosed through the publicly screening program as compared to the other group. The race and ethnicity, we all know Nebraska is a very small state with 1.8 million population. So that number is not very statistically significant, race and ethnicity. We had very low number of minority population in their sample. And that was actually a limitation. And then if you see the marital status, higher percentage of the unmarried women actually get diagnosed through the Every Woman Matter program. And also higher number of residents that are from the rural areas got diagnosed through the program. And these are all significant. And then we see the neighborhood poverty level. If you see that variable, about 13.7% were diagnosed who are living in an area that's more than 20% poverty rate. So this is the stage of diagnosis and treatment type. Higher number of women in the Every Woman Matter group actually got diagnosed at a regional state or advanced stage compared to the women diagnosed to the other sources. There are not much different in treatment types except chemotherapy. Higher percentage was from the Every Woman Matter program. So this is the 1 year and 5 year mortality model. First of all, we found no difference in terms of mortality, both short term and long term, between that specific group and the other group of women. We found that the black women are more likely to die in 5 years as compared to white women, and however their difference was not there for 1 year. And as we, previous literature suggests that if you get diagnosed at an advanced stage, you are more likely to die. So that is simple answer. Treatment also, if you receive treatment, any of those four treatment, your odds of death are substantially lower. And the marital status, if you see that in a one-year model, it was not significant. However, in the five-year model, the unmarried women are about 33% more likely to die within 5 years as compared to the married women. And again, the resident location, we found that the urban metro area, residing in that urban metro are more likely to die. And in Nebraska, there are two big urban locations, Omaha and Lincoln, and most of the minority women, they live in those two metro areas, so that may explain the finding. So the last one is the neighborhood poverty level. Our reference was less than 5% poverty rate, neighborhood poverty rate. And again, if you see that for a more than 20% poverty rate, the For five-year mortality model, they are about 60% more likely to die as compared to the women who reside in areas that have less than 5% poverty rate. So this is the treatment difference we adjusted for age, and not much different between in terms of the treatment they received. However, non-EWM women receive more radiation therapy as compared to the EWM women. So this is the special access measure we created. So this is the red areas are actually better special access than the blue areas. And I don't have a pointer, but I could have shown that there are some areas that are urban areas we expected to have better access. However, from the map, it seems like the rural areas have better access because they have less number of population, and that so this is the model we created when we included the access to primary care provider and run the same model. So I'm sorry this is a little bit small, the front is. I want to just emphasize on one thing. So if you see the special access to primary care, again, if you see that the five-year mortality model, it's substantially the higher for the, they have the low access as compared to the if they have a better access. So if you see that, the arrow should be actually on Q1, if you see that it's about 23% more likely to die if they have, in based on that access to primary care, special access to primary care. So I want to discuss some points. First of all, we found that the women diagnosed through the Every Women Matter program has similar 5-year, 1-year and 5-year mortality as compared to the other women that diagnosed through the other sources. Higher percentage of the women that diagnosed through Every Women Matter program are younger, consist of minority population and from rural areas, and reside in areas with higher poverty rate at the time of diagnosis. And that is actually the objective of the program, to specifically target this group of women for, encourage them to get screened for cancer. So I think based on the result, I think they meet the objective of their program, that what they're supposed to do, and they're actually doing. So Every Women Matter program patients are significantly more likely to be diagnosed at an advanced stage, and that also actually makes sense because that is not actually a screening program. People who have, sometimes they have symptoms and they wait for a long time and they go and get it screened. So that may be the reason why they get diagnosed at an earlier advanced stage. In 5-year mortality model, we found that non-Hispanic black and women living in areas with 20% or high poverty rate and low access to primary care have higher odds of death. And I think this finding is very interesting because, a lot of time the survival it depends on what kind of support you receive after you get diagnosed through cancer, for cancer. And then And a lot of the cancer survivor actually go and seek primary care provider instead of going specialist care because they are cheaper than to go compared to the specialist cancer care. So again, we found that the women living in an area of low special access to primary care are more likely to die in 5 years as compared to women living in the higher special access to primary care. And this is actually, we are all talking about the shortage of primary care provider in the country, but we need some more evidence, need to prove that okay, the lower access of primary care provider actually resulting in, and we do have some, but again, to make the case that we need more primary care provider in terms of not only for prevention but also for the follow-up cares like this cancer care. So first of all, the discussion goes into, the Medicaid expansion. So Nebraska is a state actually that's not expanding the Medicaid program. And we found that after 2001, those women are actually treated by Medicaid program. So we found that they are kind of effective in terms of providing them treatment. And there is no difference between that group of women and the women that diagnosed from the other sources. So that can actually contribute some way to the discussion of the Medicaid expansion. And the other key point here is that the support to that the screening program, and every year there is a cut to the screening program. For example, in 2011, they cut about $9 million to the program. Every state actually has that cut. And due to lack of funding, actually, the women are put in on waiting list and even being turned away by the clinics because they cannot screen all the women. They're screening a part of women, so there are a lot of things to do. Again, one of the important independent variable or variable, we do not have the data. The quality of data was not very good. That's a lack of information on time to treatment after diagnosis. So we don't have that information. And again, as I said, that we are a very small state. So the sample size was a little small. Maybe this study can replicate in a bigger state and see that how that evidence holds, if it's still same or it's different. So these are some of the references, and I'll open for questions.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. They have some advocacy group actually. They advocate and they kind of promote the program to the different communities. But I don't exactly know that if they provide transportation for the program. But again, there is kind of debate about the starting age for screening. And some state actually have 50 to 60. So we have from 40 to 40 years and above. That is an excellent question, but the thing is that from the data set, it's okay. So the question was that marital status was married and unmarried. I put it there. So from the data, it was not possible for us to differentiate between if they are married or they are not unmarried. Yes. Yeah, and actually, right now I'm trying to write for a project actually, because it's get difficult for the the screening program to track all the women who get screened and get diagnosed for breast cancer. So based on the finding, I'm trying to develop an algorithm that says that I'll score based on those some of the finding. So this is the highest risk patient. So I will identify the 20% of the highest risk and do a follow up with them. To make sure that because it's look like that if they are they live in an area at higher poverty rate or some of the unmarried because they may not have the social support system, which is actually important predictor of the survival after you diagnosed with cancer.
Not necessary at that point in time. So I'm not sure if that
I think I do agree completely, but I think that is not true for breast cancer. That is absolutely true for prostate cancer, because you know people are getting diagnosed at an earlier stage and they're getting robotic surgery. That is my topic of dissertation, actually. So I can so that is what is happening, is that it's getting into overutilization of, you know, hospitals are aggressively promoting their robotic surgery, so that, you know, and they're not benefiting the patient. And I think that's, but I think for breast cancer it's a little bit different from in terms of that. From, I think your comment would be very accurate for prostate cancers. Sure. Thank you so much. Yes, sir. We actually use the data from cancer registry data. So in the cancer registry data, some of those informations are not there, actually. We do not have the information on that, the number of child or...
It seems to be a more aggressive kind of breast cancer.
But is it census, ma'am? But census is aggregated. It's not the patient-specific. We can actually use that as a proxy, but that will not give us on that specific person information. I did not exclude that, but that is outside the range of the screening program. So we want to see that whether, you know, the treatment and the mortality are same between the screened by the public program compared to the other. So we thought that might introduce bias when we screen, when we do the analysis. So we did not include the women that's younger than 40 years of age.
One quick question.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I didn't get your question.
You excluded women whose primary care doctors are residents. Do you have any idea of roughly how many women were excluded because of that?
No, actually, we do not exclude based on primary care. We say that we excluded the primary care physicians from our FTE calculation who are residents.
Okay.
So I'm sorry if I... Because they tend to move from here to there, so that does not give a...
Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks very much.